We're going to start in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There's a fairly common statement that...
No, you can't.
Watch out. He's a married man now. A very common statement that I've heard through the years, believer and unbeliever, I mean believer in the sense of a Christian, have made this statement, I've heard. And it sort of sounds like it makes sense, but... And that is that God helps those who help themselves. You ever hear that statement? God helps those who help themselves. And being we know and believe that the Bible, the scriptures, is God's word and it reveals his will, if God helps those who help themselves, surely we should be able to find it in here somewhere. And if you do a little search, word search, you find that there isn't any scripture that says God helps those that help themselves. So I just sort of want to look at some things in light of that and see really what does God's word say concerning that God helps those who help themselves. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, a scripture that gives a great partial summary of Jesus Christ's ministry. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ did the good and he did the healing. It says God was with him, but Jesus Christ did the miracles. He performed the actual miracles. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. See a little bit about, you know, that verse we just read shows some of the works that Jesus Christ did or makes mention of it. This one makes even more mention. I remember the first time I read this verse, I was reading the Gospel of John for the first time, and I came up to this verse, and I was just flabbergasted. And so it's John chapter 21, verse 25, the last verse of the Gospel. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which... if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, I know it's a figure of speech, but it's indicating he did a whole lot of stuff. He did a lot of things. just incredible the amount of works that Jesus Christ accomplished. Now, there's something that is a little hard to reconcile, possibly, and that's in John chapter 5, same gospel, and this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. John chapter 5, verse 30. And it says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Now that is pretty wild. The guy that we just read that did so many works that you couldn't get enough room in the world to hold the amount of books that could be written, and then he says, "Hey, I can of myself do nothing." I mean, nothing. So how do you reconcile that with all those works he did? you know, because they sound and seem contradictory, especially if God helps those who help himself. You know, especially that. The answer is one of the one place we can find the answer is in Psalm 127. How could Jesus Christ do all those great things and yet still say, I can of myself do nothing? How does that work? Psalm 127. And we heard it in Manifestations today. The answer. Psalm 127. A great truth to understand in light of this is verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, do we need watchmen? Sure. Anybody here ever locked their windows or their doors or locked their car up when they go someplace? Or if you're in a city, maybe put your wallet in your front pocket instead of the back. I mean, you don't just leave money laying in your car when the door is unlocked. Yeah, we guard things. So there's nothing wrong with having a watchman. But here it's saying, hey, you know, that guy's getting up and staying up late. Getting up early and staying up late in vain if it's not for the Lord. Because the Lord's really the one watching. And if he's doing it without the Lord, forget it. It's in vain. It's not going to really help. And so in the beginning, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. It just is fruitless. Absolutely fruitless. Do we need to labor to build a house? Sure. I mean, Rube and I are in house building. Dennis used to be in house building. We all kind of been involved. It doesn't get done by itself. You do have to do it. But here it says, you know, unless the Lord, except the Lord build the house, you're laboring in vain. So it's not that God helps those that help themselves, because then, you know, anybody can get something done. God's got to be in it. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The bigger picture is that, yes, we do move with the things of God. We do trust in him. We do rely on him. We do believe his word. But God's the one that ultimately is making these things happen. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. And look what he did. All those healings, raised people from the dead. Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry ground with the children of Israel. God said, raise your staff and part the seas. And he parted them. I mean, just Jesus Christ walked on water. You know, it's just amazing. But God was the one kept that water from falling in. God's the one that parted the Red Seas. You know, God was involved. Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God's word does talk about trusting in him, relying on him, committing our ways unto him. It doesn't say anything about God helping people help themselves. let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, I understand the idea of it, and that is that you gotta believe means there's an action, whatever that action may be, whether it's simply praying or waiting for something, but there's an action of some sort. And if you choose to just not act and do anything, then yeah, God's got not much to work with. But it's not our job to make the Word of God come to pass. Acts chapter 27, and I'm still not there. Verse 22, this is when Paul was en route to Rome to go before Caesar. God showed him that the ship they were in was going to have problems. Paul told the ship captain, don't leave. They did anyway. And they get in this tumultuous storm, which you're aware of. And in verse, I'm having trouble getting it. Verse 22, God had told Paul something by way of an angel. It says, and now I, and Paul's talking to the Roman soldiers on the ship and all the seamen, because they're about to, they figured they're going to die. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now that, as we have learned through the years and see in God's word, believing allows, when we believe what the promise of God says, it allows God to go to work. It allows him to do what he promises he will do. Like it says in Romans 4 about Abraham, that he was not weak and he didn't stagger at the promises of God, but was strong in believing. You know, God will bring his word to pass. He needs us to believe, but that believing is like a small potatoes compared to what God's doing. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. God needs us to believe his word because he won't possess us and force his will upon us. But ultimately, God's the one driving the bus here as far as his word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Just such a great scripture here, showing the bigness of God and about his word. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the to enter. Just as that happens, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, God's going to make sure his word comes to pass. All we have to do is trust in him, believe him, in the things that it says concerning our part. So the world doesn't revolve around us. The world does revolve around God, though. Everything revolves around him. And he brings it to pass. Do we need to do stuff? Sure. But it is, like I say, it's not, we're not the ones bringing everything to pass. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I was reading this psalm yesterday morning, and it really blessed me. we scheduled to pour concrete on this Saturday, this past yesterday, for Richard and Kate's house, for their basement. And usually it takes a minimum of 3 people to do the job. 4 is better. 5 is like, oh boy, this is like we're not doing anything. But 4 is good. 3, you can do it. 2, it's kind of hairy. So we had Richard and I, and then another believer was going to come, and that was 3. And I thought, all right, we could do it. You know, it's a doable thing. So right before we were supposed to start, the believer texts and says, well, I'm going to be an hour late. Well, we'd be done by then. So I was like, all right, well, we're going to change gears. So Susan had called Terry and asked her to pray, Terry Dunn, just so that, and I had specifically said, tell Donnie don't come, because I know Donnie would just jump over there and do it, but his back doesn't feel that great. So wheeling concrete is not the best thing for a sore back. So.
And Katie and I prayed too together. We sat and prayed together.
So I thought, well, and I was just get done reading this, and that's when Richard said, "Hey, such and such isn't coming for a while." He ended up coming really late, but I kept reading this, and I was like, boy, you know, God's the one that really gets things, brings it to pass, no matter what. And I thought, well, it'll work. And it ended up working. So, but it reminded me of this stuff in Psalm 18. But I'd like to read it. And we just see the emphasis in this psalm is on God's ability and not our ability. You know, God's the one working in the circumstance. God yesterday sent an angel to help us. He looked and sounded just like Donnie. He sounded just like him. So anyway, so it worked out. Really worked out. So, Psalm 18, verse 1. It says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And look how he describes God. "The rock, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." High towers were used back then so that you could see the watchman, the guy that hopefully doesn't wake up in vain. The watchman could see further down the road for if an enemy was coming. If you're at ground level, you can't see that far. The higher up you go, obviously you can see what's coming up. God was David's high tower. God was the one that could show him things coming down the road for him so that he could either stay alive or go in the right direction. So it's pretty cool. verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows or pains of death comfort me." I mean, compassed me. Sorry about that.
Just welcome,
the pains of death compass me. You're right there next to death. And some of you in this room have been right there next to death. And, you know, right there. "And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, and even into his ears. Then," and this is great, these are figures of speech, and this is cultural idioms, some of these things that we're going to read, I don't understand them all, but basically once God heard that man's cry, God took action. It says, pretty cool, "This is our God." So he cries into his unto God, it goes into his ears. Verse 7, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down and darkness was upon his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." He is just moving to take care of his kid. "He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he went out, he sent out arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent down, I'm with it. He sent from above. He took me and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, which he recompensed me. Hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, because of those things, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Now, somebody could say, well, yeah, see, you know, you do good and God's going to take care of you. You do evil and he's not going to go near you. it sounds like that. It really, it's not. It's just basically that David declared what God's word said, and God honored that. He honored his righteousness. And David believed what the word of God said. And that was what, that's what he's talking about. We have to do something if there's some, if God tells us to do something for, you know, God to be able to act. Dr. Earl used to say once in a while, you know, he never showed the scripture, but it, you know, I understood it. You know, you do your best, God does the rest, or let God do the rest. You know, you do what you're supposed to do, God's pretty big, he can take care of the rest. You know, whatever that may be. And this is really, it's not showing, well, I was so good, therefore God rewarded me because of my goodness. It's just referring to the that he declared his word. He was righteous. He claimed what God said he could have, what he was, that type of thing. It's like us saying, I am what God made me. Or, you know, I have what God has made me in Christ Jesus. It's a declaring of what we have. So, verse 25. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with an upright man thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Remember, David was a military man. He was able to do things that were pretty unusual. But he's saying that it was because of God. By thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Pretty cool. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and the right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. In verse 34, where it says that God had taught David to war so that a bow of steel is broken in his hands, you know, it just shows God taught him things, showed him how to do things. He's in a circumstance, and God said, okay, do it this way, or go over there, or don't go over there. You know, in the circumstances, God would lead him, taught him how to war. It's not that he was stupid and didn't know how to go to military school, or, you know, but he taught him. God worked with him. Like when I was in the midst of that concrete yesterday. It never, ever, I poured concrete and never lost concrete. I think Dennis told me once that he lost some concrete because some guys didn't show up after lunch. It's not a fun thing. And I had never been in such a perplexed thing with concrete in my life. And I poured a lot of concrete. And the driver was a new driver. There couldn't have been a worse circumstance all the way around. And I said, God, somehow you got to help me. And he showed me step by step what steps it took. And I kept thinking, I don't know how this is going to work out. In the sense of, I don't know what to do to make it change. But he kept showing me, And it looks good. It looks really good. So, but God showed David how to war. You know, there's a time where God showed David. David said, shall we go in and take this city? And he asked, and God said, if you see the mulberry trees shaking, the wind shaking, then you know you should go in. And God, you know, that's what he told them. And the mulberry trees started shaking, and they went in. Other times, he'd ask, shall I do this? He said, don't go. But God was teaching him. Certainly taught him how to beat Goliath, right? See that. So, he can teach us stuff. Verse 36, right? Yeah. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. You know, he makes the ground underneath them walkable. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them. That doesn't sound very good, but this is what happened. Then I did beat them, small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth and blesseth. Blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. So it's not so much that God helps those that help themselves, it's that God helps those that look to him, trust in him, rely on him, believe in him, believe what his word says, and together it comes to pass. Jesus Christ obviously got up in the morning and did things. He did so many things, not enough room to write about it all. But he looked upon God to the end that he said, I can do nothing of myself. Sometimes we do things and we kind of take credit for it. But when you really think about it, the big picture, God's the one that is helping us and bringing it to pass. He will bring his word to pass. So it's just a great truth to keep in the depth of our hearts and to acknowledge that on a daily basis. That God's really the one helping us. I don't know what people do without him. But David was taught how to war. It says he leaped over that wall. He did the leaping. He ran through the troop. but God is the one that made it available for it to happen. So
it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.